Amen. How many are ready for the word this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, I want you to go to the book of Genesis. You know, if you want to find out God's design of something, it pays to go to the beginning. And there are things that God establishes in the beginning, and that's what we're going to do this morning. In Genesis 1:28, well, let's back up to verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." Aren't you glad to know that you have dominion over creeps? Say, I'm made in God's image, and in His likeness. And I was created to have dominion. And then he said, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now notice verse 28 is what I want you to take notice of. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moves upon the earth. So what was God's original intent? He wanted man to be fruitful, and to multiply, and have dominion. So I want to talk to you today about the blessing to increase. And I want you to notice that it is when God blessed them. When he blessed them, that's when he told them to be fruitful and to multiply. And it is the blessing of God that will give you the power to increase and to multiply. How many know that God's into increase? And this was God's original intent for every person. But what came in to mess up God's plan? Sin. Sin came in the earth. Who allowed sin in the earth? We did. And but God wants us to increase. He wants us to multiply. And it's God's blessing on a person that causes this to happen. So if you're blessed, you could go anywhere and multiply and increase. Amen? Because it's the blessing that causes you. The blessing is an empowerment. It's an endowment. And the word multiply means to increase, to grow, to develop, to reproduce, to increase in amount. How many know God wants his church to grow and increase? Amen? And the Hebrew word there for multiply is rabbah. And it means to increase in whatever respect, to bring in abundance, to be in authority, to continue, to enlarge, to excel, to be exceeding, or to make great. And God declared his favor upon man. So the blessing of the Lord activates increase in your life. Go with me to Genesis chapter 9. We're going to look at three main people this morning whom God blessed, and we're going to see how they increased. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. When God said that to Noah, how many people were living on the earth? Noah and his family, right? Everyone else was wiped out. Listen, you're going to need the blessing of the Lord to increase if you're the only people on the earth and you got to replenish the earth. The earth is a big place. Amen? Okay? But I want you to see that God blessed them. Go to Genesis chapter 12. The blessing of the Lord activates increase in your life. And let's look at verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you, curse him that curses you, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Can you see how the blessing of the Lord is linked with increase in your life? Okay? Let's look at another example. In Genesis 28, and here Jacob dreamed a dream in verse 12. And it said, he dreamed a dream, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you lie, to you will I give it, and to your seed. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east and the north and the south. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with you. I will keep you in all places whither you go, and will bring you again unto this land, for I will not leave you until I have done all that which I have spoken of. So here God, he appears to Jacob. And how many know that the blessing is transferable from one generation to the next? Jacob was the grandson of Abraham, and it was the same blessing that was on Abraham that God was giving to Jacob. And go over to Genesis 26. And let's look at verse 24. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you and multiply your seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servant dug a well. Now let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And let's look at verse 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the name of God, the name of the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. I want you to know that it is God's desire and God's will to bless you. He wants you to multiply. He wants to multiply your influence. He wants to multiply your heritage. God wants to increase your life. And increase is going to come because of the blessing. Say, I'm blessed. And when you know that you're blessed, you know that it is the blessing that brings the increase. And it is God's will to bless you. Now let's go over to the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I want you to see that we are blessed. It is God's will from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the beginning to the end, it is God's will that we be blessed. It is God's will for him to declare his favor, his goodness, his strength, and his power on your life. And that's what it means to be blessed, to declare God's favor. And notice it goes on to say, he chose us before the foundation of the world, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So, and notice verse 11 says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. So we can see that it is God's desire that we are blessed. Say, I'm blessed. So I want to look into this blessing a little bit this morning. And let's go back to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12 and verse 7. So we know that the blessing of the Lord, it activates increase in your life. Now when the Lord blesses you, you have to maintain a right relationship with God. You have to walk with God. Okay? And in Genesis 12 verse 7, the Bible says, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto your seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. See, God wants your obedience. He wants your service. He wants your worship. And he wants your life. The blessing of the Lord comes because of our relationship with God. Every one of these people the Lord appeared to, he had a relationship with them. Amen? They were hungry for God, and God came into their life, and God blessed them, and that was the cause of increase in their life. And when we build an altar really is a lifestyle of worship. If you read the story of Abraham, everywhere he went, he built an altar unto God. He kept his spiritual life alive in God, all right? Doesn't mean that he never made any mistakes. Doesn't mean that you and I won't make mistakes. Amen? And we're going to find out that the blessing of the Lord will even help us in spite of our mistakes that we make. Amen? Go to Genesis 13:4. Abraham went to the place where of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Well, we know that he was a prayerful person. Okay? So, along with worshiping God, we've got to call upon the name of the Lord. And but the blessing of God, it's going to require, you know, you can't just live any way that you want to. You can't do your own thing. You're going to have to go where God says go. You're going to have to do what God says do. You're going to have to be what God says be. Because, you know, the blessing is God's power. He's given you his favor. The blessing is like God's investment on our life. You know, he blessed them and he commanded them to be fruitful and to multiply. What does it mean to have a fruitful life? A blessed life. You know, a good life. God wants you to have a good life. Jesus told his people, he said, the thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come that you may have life and have it more what? Abundantly. God wants you to have an abundant life. He wants to meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How many know it's good to have your needs met? Amen? God wants you to have enough, not only for you, but also to share with others. Amen. Do you realize the more you have, the more you can do for God? Amen? And it's the blessing of the Lord. There's a scripture in Psalms that says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. When God blesses you, it's not going to be a sorrowful thing. It's not going to be a hurtful thing. It's going to be a good thing. Amen? Amen. Say, God wants me blessed. God wants me blessed. You're going to leave today so blessed. Amen. So it's based on your relationship with God. You have an advantage because you've given your heart to the Lord. And to someone that has never accepted the Lord, they're at a disadvantage. Amen? But our relationship with the Lord, there's something about when God appears to a person, when his presence shows on the scene. And I want you to see this story in Genesis 13. Now, God told Abraham to leave his family. And we know that he took Lot with him, which ended up being a thorn in his side, so to speak. And look at verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Now, who had the blessing on him? Abraham. Okay? Now, how did Lot get blessed? Lot was blessed by association. Okay? And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. So here they, you know, these were herdsmen, and the land couldn't take both of them because they had too many sheep, too many donkeys, too many camels, okay? And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. Now, if you're going to walk in the blessing of God, you're going to have to avoid strife. You cannot allow strife to enter in to your presence, all right? Go to Proverbs 15, Proverbs 15, verse 18. Let's mention some things a little bit about strife. Proverbs 15, 18. A wrathful man or a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. So strife comes, strife is arguing, quarreling, contention, okay? And a hot-tempered man stirs up strife. Go to Proverbs 17, 19. He loves transgression that loves strife, and he that exalts his gate seeks destruction. So if you love transgression, then you love strife, okay? Proverbs 18:6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for strokes. So we know that strife comes from foolishness, all right? Now go over to Galatians chapter 5. See, the first test that Abraham faced was this test of strife. And how you deal with strife will determine whether or not you'll walk in the blessing that God has for you. And look at verse 20. Strife is listed, King James calls it emulations or variance, but it's listed with idolatry, witchcraft, and hatred. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. That's not a good group to be named in, is it? Then go to James 3:14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. And really, in another place, the Bible says that where strife is, every evil work comes in. Now let's go back to Genesis 13. So here we have Abraham and Lot. Now Abraham, he said to Lot, verse 8, let there be no strife, I pray you, between me and you, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I pray you, from me. If you will take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. So Abraham was Lot's uncle. He was the one technically in authority over him, right? So it's amazing how he let Lot choose. And Lot was a natural thinking person. Lot only went by what he saw. Abraham knew that he was blessed. He knew that wherever he went, the blessing was upon him, and wherever he went, God would bless him, God would multiply him, and God would increase him. So he told Lot, he said, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. And, Lot chose what he thought was the best. You know, he had no clue what he was getting into. He had no discernment about the choice that he was about to make. All he saw was the goodness of the land, okay? But it took faith for Abraham to allow him to do that. Notice what happened. And verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which you see, to you will I give it, and to your seed forever. I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall your seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it to you. See, when you are walking in the blessing and you're doing what's right in God's sight and you're maintaining your relationship, part of maintaining your relationship is avoiding strife, is avoiding evil, is walking in righteousness, walking uprightly. It doesn't matter where you go, because where you go, when the blessing's on you, you could be in the midst of nothing, you could be in the midst of a desert and come back tomorrow and it'll be a fruitful field. See, Abraham knew that he was blessed and he was walking in that blessing. He was walking in the knowledge that God gave to him that God would bless him, God would be with him. And so he let Lot choose. And he walked away and God said, well, whatever you see to the north, the south, the east, or the west, I'm giving it all to you, all that you can see, as far as the eye can see. Isn't that awesome? So when you know you're blessed, it doesn't matter what kind of trouble, it doesn't matter what trouble people give you. When you're blessed, you will always rise to the top. When you're blessed, you're like the cream. You know, the cream that always rises to the top. You're like a buoy. You know, you can put that buoy down, but it'll pop right back up. We have to walk in the reality that we are blessed. And, you know, Abraham had to possess his blessing. You know, he had to walk the length and the breadth of the land that God was giving him. You know, that's like standing on the word of God. You know, we walk by faith and not by sight. And here Abraham was. So when you're blessed, everything's going to work out. All things work together for the good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. Do you love God? Are you called according to his purpose? Then things are going to work out good for you. No matter what happens, no matter what circumstances you face, you're going to come out on top. Because you're blessed. Because you're empowered to prosper. Because you're empowered to increase. Things are going to work well for you. And because God is on your side. If God before you, who can be against you? Amen? And let's go to Genesis 14. We're taking a look to see how the blessing worked on Abraham's behalf. Okay? I'm giving you the inner workings of the blessing. And there was a war that took place, and three kings were gathered together. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their victuals went their way. They took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped, this is verse 13, and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, when you hear that the thief comes in to try to steal, to kill, and to destroy. See, the blessing of the Lord will also help you overcome the enemies that come against you. He armed his 318 servants. That was a big corporation, wasn't it? Born in his own house. Now, what is 318 men going to do against three kings and their armies? Well, when the blessing is on you, you can have one against a million. It doesn't matter. When the blessing is on you, the devil can't mess with you. When the blessing is on you, God becomes your shield and your buckler. So what did he do? He divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them into Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. He brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the woman also and the people. So Lot, the people, and the goods were stolen, right? But because the blessing was upon Abraham, he gathered his troops, he went in, and he took back what the devil stole. Amen? We've got to start taking back some things that the devil stole from us. There are some generational things that the devil has stolen from us. You've got to ask God, you've got to say, Lord, what is it about my family line? What did you call my family line to do? And you need to take back what God's called the family to do. You know, I believe that Abraham's father was called to do what Abraham did. But Abraham's father couldn't get over the death of his son. Abraham's brother, Haran, died, and Abraham's father, Terah, stayed in Haran. And he wasn't willing to go. That's why God told Abraham, you need to get out of where you are. You need to leave your father's house, and you need to go and forge some new territory. I believe that there's some things that we need to take back for God. Amen? I believe that there's some financial losses that need to be recovered. I believe that there's some promotions that need to be had. Amen? And we can do it because we're blessed. We can take back what the enemy has stolen. Let's go down to verse 18 in Genesis 14. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Who is the priest of the Most High God? Jesus. I believe that Melchizedek was Jesus. Because if you read about Melchizedek, he had no beginning or no end. If you read about it, Hebrews talks more about Melchizedek. So here was Jesus. You know, he's the king of Salem, which is the prince of peace. And he blessed him. He's blessing Abraham now. And said, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth." Now he's talking about God as possessor of heaven and earth, not Abram. "Who has delivered your enemies into your hand." You got any enemies that need to be delivered into your hand? Amen? Sickness is an enemy. It needs to be delivered into your hand. Poverty is an enemy. It needs to be delivered into your hand. Death is the last enemy, which will be delivered when Jesus comes back again. We've got some enemies, but thank God, because of the blessing, the enemies will be delivered into your hand. You cannot be defeated. You have the victory. So, and the king of Sodom said unto Abram, "Give me the persons and take the goods to yourself." And Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich." So Abraham wasn't going to allow man to make him rich. Why? The blessing made him rich. The blessing made him rich. He doesn't. When you have the blessing, you know, the blessing is supernatural. The blessing, it's God's presence speaking into your life, saying you can have this, you can do this. He empowers you. The blessing is an empowerment. So look at chapter 15, verse 1. "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." How does it make you feel to know that God's your shield? "And your exceeding great reward." Don't you love the words that God uses? Exceeding great. Shield. Reward. I love that. See, the blessing of the Lord, it's so powerful. But you're going to have to activate the blessing by faith. Now, if you've ever been discouraged, I know no one's here ever been discouraged, right? Look at Genesis 15. Abram said, "Lord God, what are you going to give me, seeing I go childless?" Did God say that he was going to be childless when he first appeared to Abram? No, he said he was going to be a father of many nations, right? But through discouragement, you can take your eyes off the prize sometimes. And Abram said, "Behold, to me you have given me no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir." And he brought him abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if you be able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your seed be." See, he had to change the picture that he was looking at. Abraham was looking at what he didn't have. You know, that's what we do a lot. We look at what we don't have. We forget that we're blessed, and we look at what we don't have, and we get to complaining and murmuring and grumbling. Woe is me. You know, how come so-and-so's better off than me? I'm just going to take a sip of water. So God's word came to him, and he took him outside. And what did Abraham see? He saw the stars in the sky, and he saw the sand on the ground. And that's all that Abraham needed to recalibrate his vision. You know, sometimes we got to recalibrate our vision. And so when he did that, this look at verse 6. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So you've got to believe God. You've got to believe that you're blessed. You've got to have faith that you're blessed. You've got to have faith in the power of the blessing that God has given to you. Because if you don't believe, it's not going to work. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So let's look at how this blessing worked in Jacob's life. Go with me to Genesis chapter 30. Well, let's just stick with Abraham for a little bit more. Go to Genesis 17. And in verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly." Say, God wants to multiply me exceedingly in every area of life. He wants you to have the richest relationships. He wants you to, God has called all of us to win the lost. It is our job to tell others about Jesus in whatever area that God puts us. Isn't it? You know, the Holy Spirit is power to witness. And that's part of God's increase. Let's read on. "I will make my covenant between you, me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly." And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name be any more called Abram, But you shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations I have made you. I will make you exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed in you in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto you and to be a seed after you. And I will give unto you and to your seed after you the land wherein you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, you shall keep my covenant, therefore, and your seed after you in their generations. Now look at verse 16. Now he's going to bless Sarah. And he said, and I will bless her and give her a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be her. Now, what was Sarah's condition? She was barren. She couldn't produce children. And here the Lord, see, the blessing of God can cause something that's not barren to be fruitful and productive. You know, even Abraham, when he heard that, he fell on his face and laughed. He said, you got to be kidding me. Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and Sarah that is 90 years old? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed. And you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And notice, even Ishmael, verse 20. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto you at this set time in the next year. So the blessing of God can take something that's nothing and cause something to be there that wasn't there before. The blessing of God has the power to create, to bring to pass. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Go with me to Galatians chapter 3. Notice verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or adds to it. So God redeemed us so that the blessing of Abraham can come upon us. God wants the blessing that was upon Abraham. God caused whatever he did to prosper, wherever he was to prosper. He wants that to be on us. He wants us to walk in that blessing. He wants us to walk in the increase that he's called us to. The very same blessing that God blessed Abraham with. He wants us to be productive and fruitful in whatever we do. He wants us to have fruit that remains. You know, the Bible talks a lot about fruitfulness. John 15, talking about being fruitful and bearing fruit that will remain. Part of the fruit that we need to bear is, you know, sheep beget sheep. We need to have a spiritual heritage. So the redemption that Christ gave us causes the blessing of Abraham to come upon us, the very same blessing that Abraham was blessed with. So how Abraham was blessed, wherever he went, how Sarah was blessed, how Isaac was blessed, how Jacob was blessed, that's how he wants us to be blessed. You know, Isaac, he sowed, and in the same year, he reaped 100-fold. You know, when you sow, when the blessing is on you, and you sow, what you sow is going to grow. Amen? So we see that the blessing of the Lord, it activates increase in our life. It's based on our relationship with God. Call upon God, worshiping Him, our obedience, our service. And to keep the blessing, we have to avoid strife. And the blessing will help us defeat our enemies. And the blessing is activated by faith. Amen? Amen. So we're blessed. We're blessed of the Lord and highly favored of God. You believe that today? And that blessing is going to cause you to increase. It's going to cause you to grow. It's going to cause you to spiritually grow. You know, I can remember different times in my life, in different locations, how God spoke to me. He told me things about my future. I had a pastor in Knoxville, Tennessee. I was preaching for him, and at the end of the service, he just began to speak over my life. I had a pastor in, you know, Pastor Mark in Cleveland, Tennessee. One time he was preaching, and all of a sudden he just went, "The anointing shall increase, shall increase, shall increase." I knew he was talking right to me. But those are things that put a hunger in my heart to even develop more spiritually with God. But it's all because of the blessing. God wants you blessed. Amen? That's all I have for today. Father, we want to lift up the people, Lord, who are sick and weren't able to come here today. We thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. Lord, healing is a display of your mercy. We give you thanks and praise, Father, for your goodness. Lord, we lift them up in prayer, our brothers and sisters, and we ask you to strengthen them with might in their inner man by the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise for sending your word and healing them, restoring health to them, Father. We honor you, Lord. We bless you. We magnify you. We worship you. You're so good and gracious, Father. We give you thanks and praise. And I was just wondering if we could just take a moment and bless the Lord. He has blessed us, so let us bless him. Amen. If you have a song that you can, that we can play. Can just stand up and let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless your holy name. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We praise your holy name.
Oh, how beautiful are you, Lord? It's your words. It's your love. Oh, how glorious are you, Lord? It's your power. It is your cross.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless your people. Cause your face to shine upon them. Give them peace and be gracious to them, Father, in the name of Jesus. I bless them, Father. Bless them with strength. I bless them with prosperity. I bless them, Father, for things to work out good on their behalf. I bless them, Father, with promotion in the name of Jesus. Lord, I give you thanks and praise, Father, that we will enact, we will walk in, and we will receive of your blessing. Your blessing is good. Your blessing is powerful. Your blessing is supernatural. Your blessing comes from you, Father. And I bless your people today in the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Father, for your goodness. Lord, may your hand be upon them to lead and guide and direct them. Lord, I give you thanks and praise. Lord, that your people will be mighty on the earth. And we give you thanks for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, be blessed and have an awesome day.